The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz. Chris Bisignano. Chris, before we get into camp and the big story being injuries, I think, right now, just want to talk about the new additions to the Giants Ring of Honor. Some guys, Chris, who I would have bet were already in. I was a little surprised that two of them weren't. If somebody asked me, are they in the Ring of Honor, I just would have said they weren't. So, you know, three running backs, Otis Anderson, Rodney Hampton, and Morris, Joe Morris. The first two I would have sworn were in already. Defensive end Leonard Marshall, who, look, we had him and we had Otis on the podcast, and we asked Marshall about being in. Glad to see that get done. Two men who passed away, Jimmy Patton, who was a hell of a safety from what my father used to talk about, and Kyle Rote, another guy, actually, I would have said, oh, yeah, he's in the Ring of Honor. If my dad was alive, he would say, well, it's about time those two got in, so I'll say it for him. And Ronnie Barnes, which was a nice addition. So it's good to see the Giants doing this, Chris, to players who and members of the organization who we felt were either in already or should be in. It's you know, they get it. We always say that.
It's pretty interesting the way that went down, too. John Mara did a great job of not leaking it out that those guys are going in. A friend of mine saw Joe Morris in the parking lot the morning of and said to him, Joe, you know, he didn't know either. He's like, Joe, what are you doing here? And Morris is like, I don't know. You know, Mara's people reached out. They want us to talk to the team today. Had no idea. Marshall, the same thing. You know, they get there and, they spoke to the team. As they were about to speak to the team, Mara came up in the middle of the field and was like, hey, you know the Ring of Honor guys? And, and he says, well, guess what, everybody? These guys are going in. It was a total and complete surprise to them. Mara pulled it off without any leaks from the building. So it was a great job by John and his people because those guys were genuinely shocked. I can tell you that for a fact. They had no idea they were going in. So that was a great moment. I actually have been texting with Lenny Marshall afterwards a little bit, going back and forth. And Jerry, we had Marshall on, as you said, and you could tell he was very disappointed about not being in. And folks, this is what I'm going to get into John Mara a little bit. And I understand a lot of frustration with John over the years, losing some decisions, maybe not the best. We know that. But there was also conspiracy theories flying around about Lenny Marshall as far as why was this guy never in the ring? Why did he never get that? Did Mara have a little, thing against him? Did he not like him for some reason? When he was very vocal about the concussions, Marshall, did Mara hold that against him? And even I, even me, and I think even you, Jerry, in a way, like, well, what's going on here? Did Leonard do something to this organization? And does Mara have, is he kind of like, doesn't like him? And he, he's got a little, whatever against him and all that. Right. So, which was turned out to be absolutely completely ridiculous. Okay. Marshall's now in and look, I reached out to somebody and I think about 6 months ago, believe it or not, a year ago, whatever it was, what's going on with Marshall, Leonard Marshall? And John Mara was just basically like, look, we can't get everybody in. We'll, slowly but surely, you see everybody get in. So this is what I'm saying. People actually thought that, well, even Leonard thought that, Jerry. And he discussed it with us. He even said, I don't know, maybe because I took a strong stance with the concussions that John holds it against me. Well, folks, John Mara doesn't hold anything against his players. That's not John Mara. That could be Daniel Snyder. Some of these other tomatoes that own football teams. It's not John Mara. He's not going to hold any personal grudge against any of his players. Okay? I mean, obviously, unless it was something personal they did, so whatever it might be. As far as speaking out on an issue, whatever it might be. Jerry, we talked about it, you know, when John's dad, Wellington, was here for so many years. How much these guys, Wellington, now John, how much they love their players and how much they love their former players and how much they appreciate guys that brought Lombardi trophies to this organization and all that. So I get it. And trust me, we've criticized John too over the years with some of the moves and some of the decisions he makes. He has made. But folks, if anybody thinks this guy doesn't care about this organization, about winning and about his former players and current players and coaching staff and all that, you're sadly mistaken. So Jerry, getting back to Leonard, you know, we were texting back and forth. And dude, he couldn't be more happy, bro.
Yeah.
He is genuinely happy to be in that Ring of Honor, man. So look, when I found out the list that morning, who was going in, I put Lenny by himself on Twitter, and then I put everybody else because, you know, we became pretty friendly with Lenny. I became side. Great dude. Okay. Absolute good, great dude. And I felt that guy was the most deserving to get in. Now, I'm not saying the other ones won. I'm just saying for a period of time, Jerry, for a guy that you say, all right, who's the next one? Or what name comes to mind, right? Yeah. When you say, okay, who is not in that Ring of Honor? The first name that always came to mind for me was Leonard Marshall.
Yeah.
So I wanted to congratulate him on Twitter. Obviously, like I just said, we did it on the side personally too. But Jerry, well-deserved. Rodney Hampton, Joe Morris, right? All those guys going in. Ronnie Barnes is an absolute legend around the building. He's been around since 76, I believe. Yeah. He is absolutely loved, legend, you know. So I was glad to see him. Obviously, you're the two guys who are deceased, Kyle Rowe, Patton. We never saw them play, but well deserved for them.
I feel like I did based on everything my father would tell me over the years.
And Otis Anderson,
yeah,
you know, a guy that was with the organization, you know, four years. Six years.
Yeah.
He gets in. We're happy for all of them, especially Joe Morris too, dude. Besides Lenny, you know, Joe Morris, obviously Otis is a great dude, man.
Yeah.
Happy to see him in. So it was a great moment. And you know, if anybody says, you know, I've actually heard this too, believe it or not. Why are you putting that many guys in? Well, at once. Well, folks, this isn't the Pro Football Canton Hall of Fame. This is the New York Giants Hall of Fame. And if John Mara wants to put 20 guys in, you could put 20 guys in, okay? If he wants to put one guy in, put one. This is the Giants' whole Ring of Honor, okay?
Right.
This is John Mara and Tish's call. And if they want to put seven in, they put seven in. If they want to put one in, one. If they want to put 15. So I actually read and heard some of that. I just laughed at that. Like, guy, what are you talking about? This is the Giants here. This is their show. So.
Yeah.
But very good, very good. It's good. Mara did this on purpose too, because you know he can't stand the Cowboys, Mara. You know, right away he's like, oh, well, when is the Cowboys? When are we playing the Cowboys again, John? The third game Monday night. Oh yeah, let's do it that night.
Yeah, right.
You know, Monday Night Football, the whole deal against the Cowboys,
wearing white at home. Yeah.
Right, you know, so you know, Mara was like, oh yeah, let's do it that night. You know, so it should be a good night, and congratulations to everybody that's getting in.
Yeah, I mean, well said, Chris, and that's awesome to hear about Marshall. I mean, like you said, we had him on, asked him, and he was disappointed, very disappointed, and he was the one name that everybody always brought up. I just assumed that Hampton and Anderson were in already. I would have guessed that they were. Otis Anderson, Chris, I got a question for you. Do you think in a weird way this could help his Hall of Fame eligibility at all in that, wow, a team just put him in the Ring of Honor?
I think in a weird way it could, yeah.
Yeah,
I think in its own way, it could open up some eyes to guys in the senior committee saying, oh, you know what? Why don't we have Otis? Let's look at that again. You know, the Giants just put him in the Ring of Honor. Let's look at that again. You know, let's go back to that one with Otis again, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it could definitely open up some guys. When the senior committee comes around and say, you know, let's review this one again with Otis, you know? Jerry, it can't hurt him. Mm-hmm. As far as down the road, you know, a lot of people feel he belongs in Canton, bro. You know, yeah. A lot of people feel that, and he's another guy, and we all know Otis feels it. Yeah. You know, yeah, he's made that known.
I mean, he's
numerous
said it,
times.
Like, Joe Gibbs, Dick Vermeil, Parcells—they're all saying like this guy should be in Canton. So that when what better endorsement can you get from three guys like that? And yeah, I hope it happens for him. And selfishly, Chris, we're going with him. Remember, he promised us that we go with him if he goes to Canton. So
no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, look, you know, you saw the last class, the senior committee put a guy I thought should have been in. I mean, years ago, and that was Cliff Branch of the Raiders. Yeah. You know, and I, you know, I remember Cliff's every game, and I mean, that guy was Jerry. He was like the 100+ reception guy in today's game.
Yeah,
he wasn't back then because it wasn't a throwing league.
Right,
but he made plays that were dominant. You know, and you look at that and you say, oh, thank God, you know, they finally put him in. And that's, and I have a feeling that could be something with Otis down the road, man. Yeah. Like, you look at his body of work and say, oh, you know what? This guy belongs in. You know, this guy dominated football games with the Cardinals, came over and did what he did with the Giants, you know, and all that. So we hope, hopefully Otis down the road, like you said, Jerry, hopefully this kind of opens maybe some eyes and they say, you know what? You know what? We got to get this guy in. You know, so.
One more thing. I put out a tweet the other day. Jimmy Patton had 52 interceptions as a Giant. Emlyn Tennell had 74 as a Giant, right? Well, he ended up, I think, 79. I think he had 5 with the Packers his 2 years. That's an amount of interceptions at a time when throwing the ball was, you know, not as prevalent as now, right?
I mean, not even close.
126 interceptions between those two. Like, holy crap.
Incredible.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
It's an insane statistic. Insane. Yeah.
You laugh about it.
Like, yeah.
126. So congrats to all those guys. It's incredible. All right, dude. Now we get to the, I guess, not depressing, but more critical issues with the Giants right now. Did you hear that there was the injury bug running around, buddy?
Yeah, I see it every day at the field.
I know.
Well, you know, and this is remarkable.
Yeah.
That this offensive line just cannot stay healthy. Larry, I'm gonna, you know, I just put it on Twitter, but let me read it off here, you know, for people who don't look at Twitter, haven't seen it yet, whatever. I mean, this is what's gonna happen here. Sunday night, who will not be playing on the offensive line? Jamil Douglas, most likely Joshua Zedio, Ben Bredesen, Garrett McGinn, John Feliciano, and Shane Lemieux. Now, the good news is that Feliciano shouldn't be long-term. Bredesen, we don't know yet. He did something with his elbow. He left the field the other day. Zedio should not be long-term, and Douglas should not be long-term. But these guys will not be playing. And now Brian Daboll and his staff has to decide whether or not Daniel Jones is going to play behind this offensive line, okay, whether or not they're going to go with the starters. Sunday night. That's how decimated they are with injuries. Jerry,
I want to add, that adds to a list that already included McKethan, Gates, and Pert. And it's just, they're still linemen on this team, so there's three more.
Hey, just a quick thing. Because, you know, Gates, I didn't mention Gates at Pert.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't. That's understood. They're already there, but that's three other guys.
You know, just a quick thing. Nick Gates believes he's going to be back this year. Just to let you know that. And Matt Pert, I don't believe, is that far away either. So, but we're talking about right now, okay?
Yeah, right.
And right now, you know, they're down to Max Garcia playing center. You know, they're down to like their fifth center, you know. Even Garrett McGinn, who was taking snaps, he was cross-training as center during the week. He's out. Mm-hmm. You know, Bredesen is out.
Yep.
So it looks like it's Garcia's show. And hey, look, there's not many guys left on our offensive line, man. They re-signed Josh Reavis, who they released a couple of days ago, and they signed another offensive lineman, Chris Owens, who, you know, I don't really know who the hell that is. So they brought him in. And they need bodies. They need camp bodies. They need bodies for preseason games. Next week, there's, you know, it's a joint scrimmage against the Jets. You know, you're going to need bodies, you know, and it's just, it's amazing, you know, how many hits they're taking already. And it's like, it seems like it's the same thing. You know, now you're at the point, I'm at practice, Jerry, and you just wait for the next body to drop.
Yeah.
You know, it's unbelievable. Hey, Jerry, I was going to, you know, and that's just offensive linemen, right?
Right.
I'm going to rip off some more who most likely are not playing Sunday night. You ready?
No, but go ahead.
Matt Breida. He hasn't been practicing. He's at Gary Brightwell might probably won't play Sunday night. Ricky Seals-Jones, the tight end. We haven't seen him in a month. I don't even know what the hell.
I'm shocked, appalled, and overwrought with that one, Chris. Go ahead.
I mean, you know, we don't even know his injury. They just tell us undisclosed injury, but he hasn't practiced in about 15 practices. I mean,
what do they say? He has a leg, or he has an arm, or a foot, or an ankle? He's got an ankle.
I don't know.
Okay.
Kadarius Toney.
Oh, stunner again. Another stunner.
I mean, he looks fine, but not playing. You know, I guess he's not there yet. He's not playing Sunday. They're trying to get him back for the Jets game in a worse way. Okay, I can tell you that for a fact. Darius Slayton might not play Sunday. He's banged up. Leonard Williams looks like he won't play. Jahad Ward, Ellison Smith, Dane Belton. Good news I heard yesterday about Dane Belton. We know he's out with the collarbone, but good news about him. They expect him back in the beginning of September.
Good.
I don't know for the first game, but Dane Belton, I know that for a fact. Somebody told me that yesterday, that Dane Belton looks like he's going to be back early September. Sterling Shepard looks like he has a shot at playing against Tennessee.
Wow.
All right?
Wow. Now, in fairness, you've said he's closer than people think.
Right. So there's a possibility there. Cordell Flott is a guy not playing Sunday, and Rodarius Williams, who's been out the whole camp.
Oh, my God, I mean, again.
So you're looking at a ton of guys not playing against the Bengals. For the good thing for these twos and threes, that they're gonna get a lot of reps Sunday night to try to prove that they belong on this roster, you know. So, dude, you know, just a ton of injuries. Now you got to gear it towards. You got to be careful with their bodies. You got to be smart because you have a regular season game kicking up in Tennessee, September 11th. You got to try to get these guys back. But the good news is that right now it's really bleak and a lot of bodies are down, and they're gonna probably get beat up a little bit against the Bengals and all that stuff. That's the bad news. The good news is that, you know, guys like Ezidiu, Brennison, you know, Feliciano should be back, okay, in the long term. Talking about down the road. You know, who gives a flying, you know what, if they're not there for the joint scrimmages against the Jets? I mean, I get it. You want bodies. You want to get your work in. But it's all about September 11th against Tennessee, right?
Right.
That's what this is all about. And, you know, you like to get guys up. Shane Lemieux, look, Dable just left it at, it's a foot issue. It's a toe/foot, this and that. We don't know. You know, we don't know when he's going to be back. You know, he was in a walker boot. Just don't know yet. Obviously, it's not going to be like a week. You kind of hope you're looking at maybe first game, but, you know, we don't know yet. I can't. People have asked it on Twitter, you know, Chris, you know, what about Lemieux, guys? I can't give you a definite answer. We just know it's not going to be short term. It's going to be, you know, weeks. We just don't know how many weeks yet. You know.
What about Tony, Chris? Where's he?
Kadarius Tony. Look, I see him running around. He looks like could play. You know, he's not playing Sunday. The Giants want him back for the Jets game. I can tell you that they expect him back for the Jets game.
Okay.
Maybe even the Jets joint.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I mean, I didn't know how close he was and if it's just precautionary. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, he's electric when he's on the field, but he's got to get on the field, man. He's got to get out there.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll find out. He should be back next week. I expect him, Jerry, in the joint scrimmage against the Jets. And I expect him to play in that game against the Jets.
Yeah.
That's what Dable and that's the expectations of everybody around. So we'll see. So two guys released today, Keelan Doss, who couldn't catch a cold, and Christopher Hinton, an undrafted free agent. His father was phenomenal. His son, defensive lineman, had a very quiet camp. They released him to make room for these two offensive linemen they brought back. So that's where they are on the injury front. Guys like Antonio Williams, you know, has taken advantage of guys like Breida being out. You know, Antonio Williams is having a very solid camp, not just running the ball, Jerry, but special teams wise, is why he's going to make this team probably because he's a pretty good special teams player.
Yeah.
We all know he had a pretty big hit. In that first preseason game, opened some eyes. McGahee really likes him on special teams. Talking with McGahee, a couple days ago. And Jerry, we'll get into the defensive. But how do you not love the tank commander, Wink Martindale?
Oh my God, we're on to Cincinnati.
How do you not love him?
To Cincinnati.
For all you who don't know, you know, Martindale blitzed the crap out of New England last Thursday night. And it's sort of like an unwritten rule in the NFL that you don't You blitz a few times during the game in the first preseason, but you don't blitz a whole lot.
Yeah.
Well, Wink Martindale could give a flying you-know-what about what you think, about what unwritten rules there are, and he basically tells even a guy like Belichick, hey, shove it up your you-know-what. I could give a crap less what you think or anybody thinks.
Right.
And Jerry, you know, what I wrote in the Giant Insider this week for the next issue about, there was a section I wrote about, I called it the Tank Commander, as you know, Jerry. I'm sure you read it by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love
it. The Tank Commander. And that's the way he is. I mean, he just walks around with that slow stroll, like, yeah, I'm going to bust somebody in the mouth today, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, talking to Julian Love and a couple of guys on defense, this is what Martindale preaches. We're the bullies. We dictate. We're going to smack you in the mouth. It's not the other way around. Yeah. Oh, you don't believe me? Well, guess what? New England's got some draft pick in the game. Well, we're going to blitz the shit out of them.
Yeah.
I don't care about people's feelings. I don't care about unwritten rules. I thought it was hysterical when Wink was with us the other day and they asked about it. He was like, yeah, we're on to Cincinnati. And, which was classic line because, you know, he was referring back to Belichick Day line from years ago when he was like, we're on to Cincinnati after a humiliating loss. And I guess he was poking a little fun.
Great.
Cincinnati. He laughed at it when somebody asked him about, you know, isn't there unwritten rules? And Martindale looked at the guy like, unwritten rules? You could tell. He's like, what are you talking? You know, there's all unwritten rules in my rule book.
Yeah.
The only written rule in my rule book is to get to the quarterback.
What do you say? If it's unwritten, I don't know about it.
So what happened? Yeah, exactly. And he laughed, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, even yesterday at practice.
Hey, Chris, hang on 1 second. Guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Hang on 1 second.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we're back. All right, dude. Go ahead.
Yeah, so even yesterday at practice, you know, Martindale called it kind of like a soft day where he was just going to play a little zone, going to play a little bit. He wasn't going to blitz Jones in the offense. He says they used to do this in Baltimore, so they want to work on techniques, certain coverages, and they were going to take it easy. But even when he said that and he told us that yesterday, you could tell it was eating at him. You could tell it was like killing him that he couldn't be aggressive in practice. But, you know, they wanted to work on some things. So,
yeah.
If you don't get a kick out of this guy, Jerry, I don't know.
I just love his look. I love the look he has on the sidelines too. You know, right. He's like, you know, his hat really doesn't fit. You know, he's got that belly. Just looks like a defensive coordinator to me, man. Like, you know, he storms the sidelines. Like you said, he's not as fiery as you thought that you thought that he would be. But yeah, listen, man, I keep talking about it. I love the aggressive attitude. There's going to be times, like we said, where it's a little frustrating because he's going to leave, you know, Aaron Robinson or whoever on an island. But you know, how could you not love this? And I can't wait to see him in action for real when it's more complex and not as vanilla, man.
Yeah, because, you know, you've seen some blitz schemes or like that. But, you know, I actually talked to Julian Love the other day and he goes, nah, you know, we haven't even talked about really Tennessee yet.
Right.
You know, so I asked Julian in the press, I said, well, how excited, you know, are you guys about, you know, what this guy is going to draw up for a regular season game, you know? And obviously, he's like, they're looking forward to it because you know, they're not game planning, Jerry. Like, he'll throw in some different blitzes, but they're not game planning. You know, they didn't game plan, obviously. You don't game plan for preseason games. You might throw a few different things in for Sunday night and against the Jets, but you're not game planning for a team. You know, that starts after the final cuts and you get ready for Tennessee, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. The players are really looking forward to what the hell Martindale draws up for Tennessee and Ryan Tannehill. You know, you get a kick out of the guy. Like I said, Jerry, like he'll be standing in front of me in practice, and he just walks and he just has a look like I'm like, holy crap, this freaking guy's scaring me. I don't even play for the dude. You know, look at him where he's. You know what I mean? That's why I love calling him a tanker man. He's like a guy who wants to lead his.
Right.
He wants to lead his troops into battle, and it's all fun, folks. You know, obviously, I'm not comparing this to a real war. It's football, you know, and all that. But he's got like that patent sense, like we, you know, so many players tell us the love he shows for them, you know.
Yeah.
And the love they have for him, and, you know, it's like that patent reference I made in the article, Jerry. Like, he loves his men, and like Patton believed in World War II, we're always going to be aggressive. We're always going to be aggressive. We're never going
to
be on the defensive, you know.
You and have that's to what, love that. You have
and
to
that's what that. Wink believes in, you know. So, and you're going to find that out starting, you know, in Tennessee. So, the guy's a character, man. He's fun to be around. You know what, Jerry? He looks like he'd rather have a root canal done than actually talk to us in his once a week presser. But he's very generous, and he's funny.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't, you know, he's not like, yes, no, like letting us know that, like, I don't want to be here. He's very entertaining and engaging. So he's just a character to cover. He really is. He's funny, and he's going to make for an entertaining year, you know.
That's awesome to hear, dude. Yeah, we got to be excited. Especially, it's one of the aspects of this team that we're excited about. You also interviewed the Robinson brothers. I don't know, I was going to call it Swiss Family Robinson, but you interviewed Aaron Robinson and Wandale. Right. No relation,
if anybody's wondering.
Yeah. mentioning, well, that's like the Smith brothers on the Packers.
Exactly.
Mentioning that, just that's going to be in the Insider this week. Pretty good, insightful stuff, especially Wandale, guys. If you're going to fall in love with a rookie, it's easy to fall in love with Thibodeau and Neil. But, man, Wandale Robinson's got to be right there as far as work ethic goes and attitude and everything. Like, if he can produce, he's going to be a fan favorite. But I just wanted to bring those two things up.
Jerry, look, I've been mentioning this. And, you know, this offense is going to run through Wandale, Tony, if he could get on the damn field. Hmm. And obviously, Saquon, who we're going to get into in a little bit. But, you know, another hot topic, I guess you could say, Jerry, this week was Kenny Golladay.
Yeah.
All right. What's going on with Golladay? You know, he doesn't do this. He's not practicing. He looks like a tomato. He's like this and that. And look, you know, Golladay did himself no favors with that drop in New England.
Yeah.
He came out with us the other day, though, and you could tell he's really pissed about what's being said about him. And look, I get it. I understand. But Kenny, you know, $72 million contract, you got to make a damn play, bro. You have to start making some plays.
Right.
Now, he came out yesterday and had a great practice. So, you know, did all this negative media and, you know, social media and whatever things being said about him, Jerry, did it light a little extra fire under his, you know what, his ass? Mm-hmm. I think it did. If that's what it takes for him to maybe take this to the next level and get going, start making some damn plays, well, then good.
Yeah.
Good. If you're pissed off and you want to take it out on the field and the opponents, well, good.
Right.
If this is what you needed, 2 weeks of negative publicity, well, then good.
Right.
Because here's the bottom line. You got a huge contract and you're not making any plays, you know, and you can't, you know, you look at last year and Garrett's offense. Yeah, a lot of reasons, the whole deal. But you look at him every day in practice. You look at the preseason game, and there's nothing to get excited about.
Right.
Separation isn't there.
Nope.
Contested catches isn't there.
And I'm sorry, real quick, what else isn't there? Look, I know it's preseason, but balls that, oh, if you dove for that, he may have had a shot for it. So that's why people say the effort's not there. Because there's a couple times where, Jones puts it out there and it's, Golladay didn't die for it again. Now, again, it's preseason, but he still didn't die for it. So,
Go ahead. Right. You're there to make plays.
Right.
So make a damn play. I'm going to be level-headed about this. I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to pile on, oh, this guy. But make a damn play.
Right.
This offense, especially Daniel Jones, are we forgetting that guess who else who's basically on trial here in year four? That's Daniel.
Right.
He has to prove himself because if this organization, this isn't Shane and Dable's draft pick, brother.
Yeah.
If they feel he's not the guy, well, Daniel's not going to be here next year.
Yeah.
I think we all know that, right? When he didn't pick up his fifth-year option. That was a telltale sign, no matter how much he spent it, you know?
Right.
So, you know, so make some plays for the kid, bro.
So since you brought it up, how's that going overall?
Daniel?
I mean,
Daniel's been Daniel. He had a great practice yesterday, throwing the ball over a lot. But they weren't blitzing the crap out of him yesterday either. It's been up and down, you know? Yeah. It's been up and down. And
more down?
I say it's 50-50.
That's fine, yeah.
Good practice, mediocre practice, mediocre series, good series, some head-scratching decisions, you know, some great throws.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry, nothing.
He's being Daniel Jones, yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, you look at it and say there's nothing that he's like, you look at, oh, my God, Daniel's having an unbelievable camp. No. Oh, Daniel's having an absolute horrific camp. No. You know?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, where we're at. Now, just to stay on Daniel for a second. Mm. Daniel revealed, look, he had a little scar on his neck. People on social media picked up on it. Oh, look at this. It looks like he had surgery, you know, and people were wondering if it had anything to do with his issue last year with the neck.
Right.
So yesterday he was asked about it, and Daniel said, no, this is a non-football-related procedure. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, well, what do you mean? Is it not football? So people want to know, you know, is he lying? What happened? You know, are the Giants covering this up? I could tell you this for a fact. Daniel had a non-football-related procedure. It had nothing to do with the injury last season. Nothing. Now, I don't know exactly what the procedure was, and it's Daniel Jones's personal issue. If he wanted to reveal it, he'll reveal it to the media. Okay? Mm-hmm. If, you know... But it's his own little issue. It was taken care of, and it's to me, now a non-issue. So if anybody's wondering, are the Giants covering this up? Is Daniel covering it up? Is Pat Hanlon, public relations guy, covering it up? Is everybody I'm telling you, keep asking about...
Was there a second gunman on the grassy knoll?
Right? Yeah. You know, is Jimmy Hoffa really buried in the end zone and all that crap? Okay? Yeah. It was non-football related. It had nothing to do with his neck issue last season.
Got it.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that up.
Nice.
Okay, I know that for a fact. Okay. So let's drop that those conspiracy theories. If anybody wants to keep it up, you know, like you said, you probably think there's 15 shooters and JFK and the whole deal. You know what I mean? So, all right. So, Kenny Golladay, Jerry, make some plays, bro. Getting back to Kenny, make some plays. You know, you're getting paid a lot of money. I know it's not your fault. You know, you found the one general manager who would give you that money. Okay? But he's, you know, he told the media the other day, no, I don't believe the fans have seen the real Kenny Golladay. Okay?
Great. Thank God.
Now, I was going to tell you this, dude. They're going to line up Kenny Golladay in a bunch of different formations, especially out of that tight end position a lot. They're going to stack to the right. They're going to stack to the left.
Yep.
And they're going to try to free up Kenny Golladay any way they could because they don't have a whole lot of faith in throwing him out on the outside in an X spot and getting open, which was never really his game anyway, okay? So you're going to look at him, you know, and let's not forget, you haven't seen these formations yet, Jerry. You haven't seen what they're thinking. They're not going to show that until they play Tennessee. All right, so that's the story with Kenny Golladay. Another thing I want to put to rest, Jerry, while we're on the putting to rest category, okay?
Yep.
Tyrod Taylor, you know, Dable said the other day about Tyrod maybe getting some ones, reps with the ones, and everybody, you know, a lot of people are like, oh my God, this is it. Competition's on. Why is he with the ones? It's Daniel Jones's job. He wants to work Tyrod in with the ones because that's the way you do it in a regular season where you want to prepare a guy where, hey, your starting quarterback gets hurt, now you got to go in and run the offense. So he'll surprise Tyrod during a practice and he'll turn around and say, well, you might see now, you know, you saw it the other day and you might see more of it now before camp wraps up where you say, Tyrod, get in there. Boom. He's ready to go.
After watching Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm last year, Chris, I have no problem with this method of coaching. It's fine. You know, like you said, you got to be ready. And to be with the ones makes a lot of sense once in a while. I guess my question to you is, you made a comment before that Jones may not start or may not play Sunday because of what's going on with the offensive line. Would it automatically be Taylor, or would it be Davis Webb at that point?
I would imagine Taylor. Okay. I would imagine Tyrod.
Yeah, I'm just saying, because he'd be in the same danger that Daniel Jones is going to be in. That's all. He's almost as important. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. He is a backup, so I would imagine. I mean, I don't think they would go with Davis Webb, but, he hasn't made that definite yet, Dable. Yeah. Let's see. We'll find out Sunday,
Interesting.
We'll find out Sunday. Who knows? Maybe Webb gets the whole game,
Right.
So we'll find that out, man. They're going to be down to – well, they'll be down – we'll see. Gawinski, Neal, and Thomas are healthy, we'll find out what Dable's thinking.
You bring up the line and all the injuries, and how much do you want to run Barkley now, Saturday, right? Or Sunday? I mean, how much is he going to play? Because all the reports that you're putting out there, kid looks spectacular, right?
Right.
He's faster than ever. He's motivated. Mm-hmm. He's angry. He's joking around about how nice Tyrod Taylor smells, which I thought was hilarious.
Right.
But seriously, how much do you want to put him out there and put him in harm's way? If you're going to have, if you're on your sixth center and your third or fourth left guard, is everything just going to go right? Why even play him at that point?
Right. I mean, you got some running backs who could see some action.
Yeah,
so Corbin. Why even play Barkley?
Yeah, I agree. Play Corbin. Let him play. Breida's already hurt. Got
Antonio Williams. I agree with you. It'd be interesting to see if Saquon gets in out. Jerry, I'll be surprised if he does. I don't think he will.
Right.
I don't think he will. Now, Saquon, speaking of Saquon, we all know he's had a very strong camp. And yesterday, you could tell he was very, very disturbed about him being labeled just an east-west guy who dances, and not a north-south runner. And he basically came out yesterday and was ripping, all these people who like to put these all 22 film out there and look at this. And he was basically, he actually took a shot at a lot of people saying, everybody, with the clicker, they're all pros with the clicker, and they have no idea what this game of football is about. Now, that's not like Saquon, Jerry. He doesn't usually, he's always gives the standard answer, but you could tell it really bothers him that he is labeled as a guy who doesn't like to take it up there in the gut, between the tackles and all that. Now, look, there's two things in that. One, Saquon is right in a lot of ways, but two, Saquon does have a tendency to kick it out at times where he should push it up or maybe do a little dance where he shouldn't be doing that dance, maybe getting that extra yard. So there's no question about that, But what I have seen this summer is that he seems to be making a concentrated effort of putting that foot in the ground and getting up the field, bro.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
Now I'm not talking about, sometimes Saquon does those little spins and then I'm not talking about when he gets the handoff and this guy right there in his face, which we've seen 1,000 times with him in his career, right in the backfield, right? Where he has to try to pull a little spin and break free from that guy who's already in the backfield, okay?
Right.
Which we've seen 1,000 times with
Saquon. Because I think if he's too classy to say, guys, have you run behind this line for 3-4 years? Let me know how you run.
Right. Right. That's basically what Saquon was saying a lot of time in his own way.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Where he gets a handoff, boom, he's met by a defensive lineman. And now he has to try to pull a little spin move to get free and all that stuff. But look, there has been times, and there's no question about it, in the 4 years we've seen Saquon where he could have got maybe a couple extra yards, but instead he tried to do a little dance, spin, leap, whatever it might have been. But he was, I had never seen Saquon like that. And you could tell he was very, very annoyed about how he's being labeled. And I've been saying it from day one. This is a guy that's going to have a chip on his shoulder because a lot of people have doubting him. A lot of people feel he's done. I've even heard that. Right, Jerry? Yeah. I'm sure you've read that,
absolutely.
Dude, or heard it
sure.
on sports radio, whatever it might be. Hey, this guy's done. He'll never be a 2018 guy and all that stuff, And he's out to prove everybody wrong. There's no question about it. Now, that being said, you got to hope these guys get back, your offensive lineman, and give him a chance. Give him some holes, where you could do things, where you could do a lot of things instead of being hand off to Saquon and a guy's in his ear hole already, you know?
Right.
So that was, I found that pretty interesting yesterday with Barkley, him talking about, you know, talking about people that think they know this game and they don't, you know? So stop putting stuff on social media when you have no idea what you're talking about, you know? So pretty funny, you know, that Saquon went into that.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And angry, motivated, in shape, Saquon Barkley. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And there were people that were that take shots at him for that, for what he was saying, too, afterwards. So it wasn't just, you know, him commenting on you know, film experts or supposed film experts on Twitter, but people took a shot at what he said about that. And I just think, like, leave the guy alone. Please, let's leave this guy alone. Let's see what he can do this year and then see if he has a good enough year to keep him a Giant. I don't think they will. I don't think it'll happen, but let's just let this play out. And I love to see him behind a line that is simply capable. It doesn't have to be dominating. You right. just want it to be capable to see what he can do. So that's that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Jerry, the feeling is that if we could get these, the projected starting five in the lineup, it's a pretty good run-blocking offensive line.
Right.
It's a good run-blocking offensive line.
Right.
And Barkley could do a lot of things. Now, look, but the injuries, Jerry, it's out of our control.
Yeah.
You know, it's out of their control, bro.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, you know, Lemieux goes down, Brandison goes down. I mean, you know, Feliciano's been, you know, so you have to hope these guys come back and give Saquon a chance, you know.
All right, guys, we're going to take another break. Our sponsor, Band-Aids and Sports Cream. No, I'm just kidding. We'll be right back after this. Hang on 1 second. All right. So Saquon, go ahead, bud. Sorry.
No, I think we talked, you know, let's just give Saquon a chance. And
yeah,
I think he's going to have a big year. I'm going to keep saying that. I think he's going to have a really big year for the Giants. So
cool.
But Jerry, you can't have a big year if, you know, if you get a handoff and there's a guy ready to destroy you in the
right,
backfield.
Right.
So
right. Anything else before we get to questions, Chris?
No. So look, you know, we'll see what happens Sunday night. Kind of this all this injuries, the injury situation kind of puts a damper, you know, on, you know,
yeah, it does.
On
this, it really
on
does.
On this preseason game Sunday.
It's
but
like
next
you don't
week,
know what to make of this. Yeah.
Right. I mean, next Thursday, they're having a joint scrimmage with the Jets, which I'm sure will lead to a full scale brawl like every other joint scrimmage does in the NFL.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oof. And then they finish up the preseason next Sunday, I guess, at Jets. And then you get rolling, man. But it's the regular season's right here now. It's right around the corner, man.
Yeah. The only really good thing about Sunday night, selfishly, is we print. So if Barkley doesn't play, if Jones doesn't play, you know, God willing, there's no injuries, then I don't have to, you know, change the entire newspaper before we go to print. So
right,
selfishly,
right.
maybe that's not a bad thing. So, but right, whatever. Right. But obviously, you want to see these guys play. All right, dude. We'll kick it off. Just a comment from Lisa at SoBad6. Just want two words for you. Thank you. Love what you guys do for us fans. Thanks, Lisa. You're the best. Oscar Nieves, with Chris's extensive knowledge of what are now considered old school rappers, if the Giants' offense, defense, and special teams were rappers, who would they be? It's a tough one, Chris. I would go defense is going to be an angry rapper, like Ice Cube or someone like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Offense is going to be a struggling rapper. Offense is going to be Snow. That's terrible.
Who?
I'm sorry.
Snow? Oh, I don't know that. Yeah, okay, no, I don't know. I really couldn't get... I got to think about that one.
A struggling rapper is going to be the offense. good question, Oscar. All right, Joey Z. Why are head coaches so close to the vest when talking about injuries? Why can't they say player A has a lower body injury, will be out 3 weeks? The more vague they get, the more speculation there is, and more questions are asked by the media. I guess it's you don't want to let on with other teams, right? I mean, that's why they do that, no?
Yeah, it's up to the coach, you know, and usually coaches don't like to reveal, you know, oh, he has this, he's going to be out three, you know, that's what they say. You know, hopefully he'll be back soon, he's looking good, he's progressing. You know, once in a while they'll say, well, obviously, they really only say, listen, it's obvious. Like, you know, when Lemieux's in a walking boot, you can't say he's got a shoulder issue, you know? You know? And Dane Belton, we saw Dane Belton with a sling on, you know, obviously he's going to have to say, you know.
He's got a foot.
Yeah. Usually they'll say after they go for X-ray, they'll say, okay, it's broken collarbone, like, or not, you know, stuff like that. But that's the way Dable plays it. You know, he doesn't like to talk about injuries too much. Most coaches don't.
Yeah. Hunt for five at G-Men Pride 4. Chris, who is your favorite Notre Dame quarterback of the last 20 years? My uncle is a diehard Irish fan, even naming their dog Rudy. Hashtag Golden Domer Buffoon Crew. Hashtag Wink the Tank Commander.
My favorite in the last 20 years? Wow. Probably Brady Quinn.
Yeah.
Unless I'm missing somebody. I'm bad going back 15, 20 years. Probably.
Who was the highly recruited kid who was supposed to be Jesus on the field and he was meh, he was okay? Well,
I remember Rick Meyer was recruited like that.
After that, I'm thinking of the...
Yeah, that's right. Yes,
Jimmy Clausen.
Oh, God. Yeah, Jimmy Clausen. Yes, you're right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I remember when he came on campus. Yeah. Everybody thought they had the next Montana. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, Jimmy Clausen. Yep.
Yeah.
I guess Brady Quinn, he played pretty good for them.
By the way, folks, I texted Chris yesterday. If you haven't seen it, the Manti Te'o special on Netflix is alarming and just sad what they did. My God.
I haven't seen it yet, Jerry. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
It's incredible. Incredible. Yeah. What a great human being he is.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Look, I remember when he was going through, man, when he went into the pros after that, and that just destroyed him. He was never the same. Nope. You know, he was never the same linebacker, man. Off the field stuff was just destroying that poor kid, man.
One thing he did say that I was stunned. I'll just tell you one thing. He said when he was about to get drafted in the first round, he said, "I know the Giants liked me a lot." I was like, "Wow, I didn't know that." Because obviously everybody loved him in college. But yeah, I didn't know that. But if you get a chance, everybody, watch that. It's incredible.
Right.
Chuck Lustig, what kind of role has John Mara taken this summer? Can you sense any difference in his role on and off the practice field now that Joe and Dave's have settled in?
Anything different
between last year, like last regime and this one or no?
No. I see Mara. He loves to watch practice. And I haven't seen a different role, no.
Yeah. Let's see.
Looking forward to going to the bathroom next to him, you know, like we always seem to do.
That's right. Good timing you always have there. A lot of questions about, like, Nick Turchi, what's in the water at East Rutherford that makes bones and muscles weaker, which inevitably causes so many injuries. Jason Honeywell, I asked this question a few months back, so here it is again. 1 year from now, pick your headline. A, Jones is having an excellent 2023 training camp. B, the rookie quarterback is looking good and may see first team reps soon. C, another year of misery is upon us. Hashtag sell the team. I pray for A. Hashtag number one podcast. Thanks, Jason. Yeah. I'm going to go with B, rookie quarterback looking good and may see first team reps soon.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for A, bud, but I'm going to have to go with you on that one. I'm going to have to go with B on that one.
Me too. Lou at GiantsFan81. Chris, really good job bringing everything up because it's rare that I go through 40-something questions and 20 have been answered already. So I'm really trying to find something that we didn't discuss or you didn't bring up. Honest best guess on a final record this year, if the team doesn't suffer any major injuries, I'm still at 7-10. This is a 7-10 team.
Yeah, right around that. Yeah. I'm probably going to go with 6-11.
Yeah.
That's right around that. That's what I have them at.
Giants fan Vermont, just want to say thank you guys for always giving us actual content versus some others. A bunch of tomatoes and put nothing burgers out there, like Evan Neal being a big disappointment and Tyrod is taking over for Daniel. Thank you.
What'd you say? Evan Neal being a big disappointment?
Well, I know that Chris Long had a podcaster discussed Evan Neal's form and how bad it was or something about his upper body. I didn't watch it because I can't stand Chris Long, admittedly. So I didn't watch it, but I know that some guys retweeted that, so I think that's what he's talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Long doesn't know what he's talking about. He was in my last memory of him as being an Eagle. I can't watch whatever Chris Long does. I don't care.
Interesting. I didn't know he said that.
Chris.
It's interesting he says that. I didn't know that. But he was a good defensive end in this league, so I guess he's seen something, and we'll see how, interesting that he would say that,
Yeah.
The kid's having a pretty good camp, he's obviously got to clean up some stuff, but, What did he say about him, Long? He said he was a bust?
I didn't watch it. He said something about his upper, upper body. Yeah.
Okay.
And guys were tweeting it. Bobby L. at Sports Freak New Jersey 35. Who was your camp star and camp bust so far, Chris? You don't have to say bust if you don't want to. Camp star.
Man, there's no camp bust. Camp star? Yeah. Well, the first half of camps probably had to be Wandell, one of the camp stars. And Saquon. Mm-hmm. Saquon's been one of the camp stars, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know? Trying to think somebody on defense. Camp star. Well, you know what? Adoree Jackson's been a camp star.
Oh, good.
Don A. Holmes has been a camp star.
Yeah.
You know? Bust-wise, look, let's relabel that, Jerry. We'll make it disappointment, maybe, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say bust.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Galladay's been a disappointment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if somebody else has been a disappointment.
Aaron Robinson or no?
No, I'm not going to say a disappointment, no.
Okay.
You know, he's been beat sometimes. Sometimes he's gotten his guy, you know. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to label him that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Kadarius not being on the field, that's been a disappointment.
Oh, huge.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of somebody else disappointment-wise. Well, safety, no, that's Thibodeau's been everything as advertised. He's been really good. Neil is having a pretty good camp for a rookie.
Hey, is Ojulari going to play this weekend?
He's supposed to. I think he is. Yeah. Yeah, I think he is. Dable didn't say anything today about him not playing.
Yeah.
You know, so it looks like he'll see his first action, you know. And he's a guy you want to check out and want to get start working into form.
Peter Ritchie asks, what week will Tyrod Taylor become the starting quarterback? We'll skip that. Just had to read it because it's funny. A lot of people ask about Gates. So nice job with that. Let's see. Nick Pavlo. What positions will they hit the wire for, considering lack of depth but also lack of cap room? Aside from offensive line, Chris, do you see other positions that they're going to do that for?
I could see maybe cornerback. You know, yeah. I could see cornerback.
What about tight end?
I could see maybe. Yeah, I mean, they're pretty thin over there. You know, it's Bellinger, Meyer. You know, Vicky Seals-Jones hasn't been on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell's going on with him.
Mm.
Yeah, so I would say
he only plays when he makes amazing catches against us.
I would say offensive line, man. You know, yeah, they're going to keep monitoring that waiver wire for offensive line. Like they signed, like, you know, brought one back and then signed a new one today.
Yeah,
you know, and next Tuesday, I believe, is you have to cut five more guys. You know, so they're Shane's gonna keep monitoring that.
It goes down to 80 on the 23rd. Yep.
It goes down to 80, and then obviously a week later after the Jets game with the big cuts down to 53, you could get a pretty decent veteran, Jerry. There's a chance you could get a pretty decent veteran offensive lineman. That's a last, you know, didn't make the final cuts, but could make it on another team or could give you some quality reps on another team. I'm sure Shane's gonna be monitoring that big time in a couple of weeks.
We'll go a few more. Coach Fish 86 at Big Fish Money. This is a funny question. Colin Johnson, A, a tomato. B, not a tomato. C, sometimes a tomato, sometimes not a tomato. And he spelled it T-A-H-M-A-Y-T-A. Nice,
Coach. Well, I'll go with not a tomato because he's had a pretty good camp.
Yeah.
Nice. So I'll go with not a tomato right now.
Tom Lapp. Tay Crowder, how's he looked? Do you think he'll ultimately be replaced by Beavers? Hashtag buffoon. Hashtag 10-win season.
Yeah.
Tom's always optimistic.
Yeah. Tom, I believe Darian Beavers will be lined up alongside Blake in the regular season.
Phil at Phil12809. Has there been any training camp brawls between the beat writers getting in line for lunch this year? Hashtag buffoon crew.
What?
Has there been any training camp brawls between the beat writers getting in line for lunch? I guess the Giants put out a good spread.
No, there's been no issues with that.
All right, we can't end on that one then, Chris. We gotta add one more. Here we go. Rob Kassoon, this is a good question. There's been a lot of talk about Barkley's run game being back, but what about his block? Has his blocking improved in practice? Blocking was a weak spot for him, from what I recall. Thanks, yeah. guys. Hashtag Buffoon Crew. Hashtag Canadians Bleed Blue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's been working on it in camp.
Good.
And we'll see. We'll see when the regular season starts if he's improved on it. But he's definitely it's definitely something he's been working on. I think I even put it on Twitter one day, him working on a pass pro.
Yeah.
If I remember right, you know. So that you know, he's very conscious of it. He knows he has to get better at it.
Yep.
And he's been working on it. And we'll see. You know, only time will tell when the regular season gets here.
All right, guys. So when we launch this podcast, it's going to be on Red Circle now. We're still with FanSided. FanSided moved over from Omni to Red Circle, so it's going to look a little different when I put out the tweet. Of course, you're not really going to see that until you press play. So I don't know why I'm telling you now, but from now on, you're going to see Red Circle instead of Omni. So they moved over, which was kind of awkward because we left Red Circle to go to FanSided, but then FanSided joined forces with Red Circle. So always had a good relationship with them. Good to be back. So anyway,
it all circles around, Jerry.
Yes, we've come full Red Circle. Nice. And let's pray for no injuries Sunday. We don't need any more. Damn it. Let's enough. Let's get everybody back.
Could we please end this training camp now?
God. Jeez. And congrats again to the well-deserved Ring of Honor members. It's incredible. Good stuff. Anything else, bud?
No. Oh, let's enjoy the game Sunday night as much as we could. Look at some of these twos and threes, guys battling for roster spots, who could step up and who's going to hurt themselves and all that. So,
and we'll do our next podcast, I guess, earlier in the week, next week probably, just to do a post game.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, which prints Sunday night, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to Magster for a digital subscription. That's MAGZTER. All right, guys. Remember, Sundays are Giant Days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.